dealing with me for several weeks. And he's given me things to deal with that terrify me. And I believe I know a little bit now about how Jonah felt. Because when monarch time came, I tried every way that I knew how to stay home. My wife's mother got sick, and I thought, well, I can stay home with her. And it seemed like that's not what the Lord wanted. I have a very heavy burden. I don't know as I've ever had a heavier burden. I too, like Brother Marty, have a great love for the Church of God. I guess the best way to begin, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Numbers, the 10th chapter, and please pray for me tonight. Mostly for the Word of God. You know, I have great fear in my heart to handle the Word of God. Because God has put great value on His Word. And I tremble to think that He would give me the responsibility and the duty to handle it. But it's His Word that we're going to be judged by. And I pray tonight with all my heart that what I have to say will be in the Spirit of God, will be in the love of God, that you'll not see the vessel, because I'm a weak vessel, but that you'll see Christ. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shall make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies." We face a real definite enemy tonight. Don't know if there's ever been a time in your and my life that He is working as hard as He is today. And there are many areas that God's people, that we as God's people, that we're under attack. Many places that the devil is trying to work in his underhanded manners to try to bring down the church that Jesus built. Now, I know He's not going to do that. I know He's not going to be successful. But folks, He can do a lot of damage. If we go into this thing blindly and we don't have our eyes and our hearts and our minds open to the Word of God and to the Spirit of the Lord, He can do a lot of damage to us. And in some ways, I feel that He already has. It said, when you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, Then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. And tonight, by the help of the Lord, I want to blow an alarm with the trumpet. I want to blow an alarm with the Word of God. We need to be alarmed. I'm stirred in my soul. God has been dealing with me in a way that I'm not used to. In a way that terrifies me. And I don't want to see this thing, as we heard last night, destroyed from the inside out. But you know, that's just what He's trying to do. That's just what He's trying to do. I want to read another scripture over in Joel. Establish why I'm up here tonight. Joel, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. I don't know if you feel the urgency tonight, but I feel a great urgency. I feel that we need to be alarmed in our souls for the things that are going on today. I feel that we need to be very concerned about what the devil is trying to do right in and amongst us. It says, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and a thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Folks, I believe God's people is a great people. I believe we're His people and we're a great people. We're not great because we're many, because we're few on this earth, but we're great because we have the Spirit of God in us. That's what makes us great, nothing else. Every one of us here is all part of humanity. We're all part of the earth. We're not great because of anything that we are, but only because we have the Spirit of God dealing and working with our hearts and in our lives. And folks, it's important to us not to just have the truth. I thank God for the truth. I appreciate the truth. The truth's going to set us free. The truth will get us to heaven someday. But folks, we got to have the Spirit of God with the truth. It takes the Spirit to go with the truth. And whenever flesh gets in the way, the message the other night said Spirit versus the flesh. When flesh gets in the way, the Spirit of God will not work. It won't work. We may have the truth. We may be dressed outside, right? We may be doing dotting our I's and crossing our T's. But folks, if we don't have the Spirit of God down in our hearts, we're going to lose it. We are going to lose it because it was God's design. When Jesus left this earth, He said, I go away, that I would send the Spirit unto you, that He would lead you and guide you into the truth. Folks, if we don't have the Spirit of God, we're going to lose the truth because He's the one that guides us into the truth. Truth's been handed down to you and I. And I appreciate it. But I've already heard, and I heard it last year in this meeting. Folks, what's been handed down to you and I, we need to take that, and we need to improve on it. This thing is, for it said, it shall forever increase in my soul. This thing needs to be increased. But the devil has been successful coming in among us, and he's working with people that's causing this thing to be tainted, and it'll be destroyed if we don't wake up and listen to the Word of God and what He has to say to us. There ain't one of us immune. Thank you, brother. There isn't one of us immune to the workings of the devil. We need the Spirit. One of the things, it says, blow the trumpet and sound an alarm. I pray that we'll all take this as an alarm tonight. I'm alarmed. I'm alarmed at what is going on. I'm alarmed at what people are allowing the devil to do with them. I'm alarmed. One of the things that is under attack is our love for God. Yes, it is. The love of God is under attack among God's people. Because the world is coming so close around us, and everybody, as we heard, wants to sit on the fence and partake of the world and want the Spirit of God, and it doesn't work that way. And our love for God is under attack. Do you really love Him tonight? Are you willing to love Him so much that you'll deny yourself and put yourself on the cross and die for God, for the truth? Do you love Him that much? That's what it's going to take when the judgment comes. When that great judgment shock comes, it's going to take a great love for God to stand the judgment shock. Another thing that's being challenged is our faith. Not just divine healing, but it is under attack. We hear so much today among us. And folks, I came here with the love of God in my heart. I'm not picking on anyone. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea here. I love the church of God. It's pure and it's holy. Up on Mount Zion it said, there shall be deliverance and it shall be holy. Praise God. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Don't you want to possess what God really has for you and I? I believe we're living beneath our privileges. We don't possess what God really wants to do for us. You know, these are the last days. The Bible tells us the devil's been turned loose. Folks, the devil's turned loose, but God wants to show His power. He wants to show His authority. He doesn't want the devil to run over His people. God wants to rise up and work in our hearts and deliver us from all these afflictions, deliver us from all these things that want to enter in and cause this thing to go to crumble from the inside. God doesn't want to see that happen to you. We don't want to see that happen, do we? Oh, have faith in God. That little mustard seed. It took faith to get saved, didn't it? None of us have ever seen Jesus in the flesh. Folks, let's increase on that faith. Don't let the devil challenge that faith. But stand true and faithful to all the Word of God. All that you know and understand. Folks, it's under attack today. Are we going to stand with God? There's so many times we're hearing of people going to hospitals and going to doctors and places and trusting into the arm of flesh. I don't believe God's pleased with that among His people. Think about dear old brother D.S. Warner and what he handed down, that God used him to bring a reform to you and I of salvation and sanctification and holiness and living a righteous and a godly life. When my mom, mother, and father were living and they raised us children, I never was taken to a hospital. Sure, I was sick. Sure, I had accidents, but I never was taken to a hospital. Are we afraid to trust God today? You know, I believe there's reasons why we are. I believe there's reasons. And by the help of the Lord tonight, if you'll bear with me and pray for me, I believe I can expose why we're losing our faith. I've already mentioned the Holy Spirit. He's under attack. You know, the devil has been so successful in keeping people from getting a real consecration. He's been so successful at keeping people from getting a real dedication, willing to set themselves apart and go all the way for God. The devil has been real successful at that. People say, well, I don't understand it. I hear it so preached so many different ways, I'm confused. May God help us tonight. Sanctification, the experience of a sanctified life and being filled with the Holy Spirit, just as simple as the plan of salvation. But the devil is working among us and he's trying to confuse the issue. He doesn't want us to have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to have faith. He doesn't want us to be filled with the love of God. Because if we do, you know what we have? We have power over the devil. And he don't want us to have power over the devil. Folks, we talk about fasting and prayer. I'm an advocate of that. But there cometh a time when you put legs on those prayers. Right. Okay. There comes a time when it's time to act. I believe with all my heart right here tonight, from what I've heard in this meeting and the direction that I've seen this meeting go, I believe with all my heart that it's time for what God has given me. And I believe with all my heart that there are every one of us here that have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we know what the problems are. And you know what? This is why it's been so hard for me. We're afraid to get up here and speak out. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And by the help of the Lord tonight, God was mentioned in the minister's meeting this morning, and it came to me this afternoon. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If the devil takes my life tonight, if God permits that, I'm going to tell you the truth. God bless your heart. I'm going to tell you what God has given me and drove 800 miles out here to tell you. God bless your heart. I'm going to do that by the help of the Lord. I'm concerned for us. I'm concerned for us. We sit around and we talk about this and we talk about that and we talk about them and we talk about them. Dear ones, it begins right here at home. It begins right here in our hearts. It begins right in our lives. There's too many of us around that people can point the finger at and they say, that brother doing this, and that brother's doing that, and that sister's doing this. Folks, like the devil has even got us in a place where we don't even have confidence in one another. I'm going to tell you like it is. I've been told that I'm plain. That's the only way I know how to tell you, folks. I'm plain. The Word of God's plain. But I believe it'll back up everything I'm going to tell you tonight. Over in Joshua, we won't turn, the 7th chapter. The Bible gives us an incident where God told the children of Israel after they had fought the battle of Jericho. And God gave them a great victory there. And he said, don't partake of the accursed things. Don't take those things from those people. Just don't do it. And a man did, didn't he? Achan went out there and got a Babylonian garment. Took a couple other things, I believe. And he took them and he dug a hole in his tent and put him in the earth. Put him in a hole. God help us tonight. Folks, every one of us here are his creation. Ministers, preachers, we're his creation. We're people. We're flesh. Every one of us belong to God. God has the right and the authority to do with us as he will. Isn't that right? As he will, he has that authority. He told them not to partake, and Achan partook. And they went out to fight a little battle with Ai, a small little group of people. And they were so confident that they could go out and win that battle with just a few. And they went out and fought that battle, and before it was over, they were running. They were running from the battle. And 35 or something like that of them were slain. Are we running? Are we running? Are we really doing what God wants us to do? What direction are we running? Where's our power? How many of us silently don't raise your hand, but how many of us can say we're filled with the love of God? How many of us can say, I have faith that all mountains could be removed and cast into the sea? How many of us can say that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? How many of us can say that when I leave this place, I'll go home and for a year I'll live every day the life the way God wants me to live? How many of us can say I have put aside all things that God does not approve of? You know, my brother D.S. Warner, I've done some reading, and I don't set him up as God, I don't set him up as Jesus, but folks, he brought us something good. God blessed him to bring us something good, and when I was brought up, I was taught that there were some things you just didn't do. Well, we're doing them today. Brother D.S. Warner said, you don't drink coffee, you don't drink tea, you don't go to ball games, you don't go to picture shows. Brother D.S. Warner said those things. We still hold that today.
Or have we dug us a little place in here? And we got our coveted prizes, and we'll do it in the privacy of our home. It gets a little deeper than this. I don't know. I need some strength, Lord. God does not work overseas. God will not work overseas. Joshua was very distraught because the children of Israel lost that battle. And he began to seek God. And what did God tell him? Someone in the camp has partaken of the accursed thing. And until that thing was dug out, and until him and his family were destroyed, God didn't put his blessing on children of Israel. Folks, we hide things in the camp. God doesn't put his blessings on that. I want to see Brother Kimball healed. I want to see Brother Jimmy McDonald healed. I want to see Sister Rose Sammons healed. I want to see Sister Betty Lachey healed. I want to see Brother Nathan Carver healed. I want to see all these folks healed. But folks, we sit around and we pray and we beg God for this and that. Folks, we know what the problem is. It's time to do what the Word of God says instead of just hear what the Word of God says. There are things that are among us that God does not approve of. And he won't work over these things. Oh, I think about the Scripture so much. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now I'm going to get down a little closer. Before I get there, Lord, help me. See this little drawing up here? That's one rendering of the temple. I know there's more furniture and things that you can put in, but that's a rendering of the temple. Would you turn to Haggai? Keep praying, please. Haggai, the second chapter. The temple. We're all familiar with the tabernacle that God gave to Moses and Aaron. And how that he set it up, told them what to put in the tabernacle. And then the time came down when he permitted Solomon to build him a house. God told him over there in that tabernacle, he said, I'll dwell in that place. My glory will come down in that place. And when Solomon built the temple, it said that the glory of God came in that temple, and the priests had to get out because the glory of God was there. Folks, when God comes down and when God rests up on us, you're going to know it spiritually and physically because the presence of God is too great for us to stand. I know. I've been there. It's too great. The body can hardly take the presence of God. It's too great. How many of us can say, yes, we have the presence of God? Well, it says in Haggai, the third chapter, the third verse in the second chapter, it said, who is left among you that saw this house in the first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? You know, the house that Solomon built for God was a beautiful place. You can read about it in the Word of God. He designed it. God designed it. All the gold, all the silver, all the brass, all the cups, all the things that were put in it, God designed it all. Because he wanted it to be just right for him. It wasn't for the people so much to go in, but God wanted it to be just right for him. I'm going to dwell there. And that's what he's talking about, this house. And this house has three parts here. The outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Oh, I thank God for the Holy of Holies. And you know, God has been dealing with me. And he's been showing me how important this house is. We talk about the Old Testament being types and shadows. Folks, we're not in the shadows today. We're in the temple. The temple is in us today. Excuse me. But this temple has a real meaning to you and I. There are folks that are up in age. I think of Brother Eck here tonight. I don't doubt in my heart one bit that he saw the house in a greater glory than it is today. Have we tainted it somehow? Have we begun digging and burying things in the earth? Do you know that we are earth? We're flesh. We are dust of the earth. Have we been hiding things in here that has changed the glory of this house? We're responsible. We can't point the finger at anyone else. We're responsible for what the house looks like today. We're responsible for it. It said down in verse 6, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." You know, I like reading over there in Ezra, where Ezra went back out after they came out of Babylon and they began to lay the foundation. Well, I thank God for the foundation tonight. But they laid a foundation there for the rebuilding of the tabernacle. And whenever they began to celebrate that the foundation was laid, what happened? It said there were ancient men among them that began to weep because they saw the house in the first glory. The young men were shouting and rejoicing. They didn't realize how great this thing once was. What are we passing down to our young people? We preach to them, and we preach to them, and we go to them and seem like name them out all the time. What are we passing down as the saints of God, the church of God tonight? What are we passing down to them? Are we showing them the glory of the former house or the house as it is today? We're going to the judgment. And believe me, I've already considered that I'm going to mean everything that I speak to you tonight. I beg God, God, please give this burden to someone else. Someone more capable than I. God wouldn't do that. I ask Him to lift the burden. God wouldn't do that. I believe this is what God wants with all my heart. He wants to help us. He wants to help us. It says in verse 6, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord." Folks, the desire of all nations has come. We are living in that day. We are in a shaking time. We are in a time of cutting off. If we don't humble ourselves and we don't allow God to work with us, if we don't get rid of all those things that we have hid in our flesh, folks, God's going to cut us off one of these days. I've been thinking about surgery. You know, whenever sometimes when someone has cancer and it's real close to muscles and certain parts of organs, sometimes they do what they call radical surgery. In other words, they go in, and they go even farther than where the cancer is. And they might take a little piece of muscle in order to see to it, if that part is weakened in any way, that it doesn't spread. You know, I believe God wants to do some radical surgery right here. He wants to do some radical surgery. And folks, here's what's hard for me. I'm coming up for the hard thing. Something else is under attack. If the devil wants to bring this thing down, if you were the devil, where would you start? I'd start with the minister. And the devil is working hard. I love every one of you. But I've got to say this in the fear of God. I tried to run. I tried not to come. I carry this as long as I can. Our ministry. I love them. I'm so humbled to think that they would even accept me to be part of them. But dear ones, it's not the person. It's not the individual so much as it is the Spirit of God in them. The Spirit of God in them. I'm afraid that the devil has taken advantage in some places. I believe that pride has come in. Only by pride, the brother said the other night, cometh contention. Brethren, there's contention among us. I have to say it. I want somebody else to. There's contention among the ministry. And folks, you're not fooling anybody. The sheep are crying. The sheep are talking. The sheep are saying, when's it going to stop? When are you going to humble down? And when are you going to rid us of this cancer that's in the camp of God? God have mercy on us tonight. There's pride riding amongst us, folks. God won't work over pride. Ministers are in one of us that God has set up on a throne or a pedestal. They are for kings. They're not for ministers. Thrones and pedestals are not for preachers. We aren't to have our little cliques. We aren't to have our little followings. That's truth, isn't it? Please tell me that's true. God's not pleased with that. Saints, don't follow ministers. Don't set them on pedestals because pride will get in their hearts. Because they're just men like you and I. We can't let people guide us, ministers. We can't let money guide us, ministers. We can't let selfish desire guide us, ministers. It is a shame. I'm ashamed that we come before God and they're right among our ministry that can't get along and are not in agreement one with another. God. Tomorrow, God willing, if He spares this world in our lives, we're going to have healing days or services, an opportunity for those that need help. Ministers, listen to me. I don't know what you're thinking of me. But when we gather around those individuals that come to these altars and we have things, differences, and there's things that are in our hearts and we're not in agreement, shame on us. I'm embarrassed that God would look down on something like that. And we shake our heads and say, Lord, we prayed and we begged and we fasted. Why aren't these folks being healed? There ought not to be any ought in our hearts. God doesn't work over sin. And let me tell you something. Pride is sin. Pride is a sin. That's the sin that Eve committed when she partook of the fruit. God doesn't work over that. I'm so burdened for us. The ministry, the devil has put us under attack. And he's being successful. I just have to say it. He's being successful. God's not pleased. We are supposed to honor the minister for the work's sake. And if he ministers the word, we give him double honor, don't we? But folks, we don't set him up. You know what pride is? It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Are we about to fall? I don't think we're about to fall, but I think an alarm is being sounded. I've heard it all this meeting. An alarm is being sounded. I don't want to fall.
I don't want to give the devil the opportunity to show us up. But I want the heavenly Spirit and power of God to come down and rest on us that He might be able to do with us as He will. He said, prove me and try me, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that which you'll not be able to contain. But folks, if we're hiding things in this earth, if we've got differences with our fellow brethren, we're hiding things in this earth. And God's not going to work with them. He's not going to do it. He wants to do some radical surgery. He wants to see some humbling down. Folks come in congregation some places, and so-and-so sitting on one side, so they sit on the other. God help us tonight. Ministers, we're supposed to be leaders. We're supposed to set examples. And folks, we're not fooling the flock. Let me tell you something. Years ago, when I was out in sin and I was heavy into drinking, I used to put things in my mouth and sprays and all these kind of things, and I thought I had the people full. Let me tell you things, ministers, you're not fooling the people. They're crying out. Those that are hungry and those that want the truth and real leadership, they're crying out. God, where is our proven leadership? Where is the humility among them? They're crying out. They're crying out. I've heard it. You've heard it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's not pleased with cliques. Just not pleased with them. I can't be in your clique. You can't be in my clique. Folks, we're the family of God. It's not a clique. And there's no minister that's set up so high that he's going to be your leader. Christ is the leader of this church. And he's the only leader of this church. Christ is the leader. He's the head of this thing. Every one of us today need to bow down before him in humility. And if there's anything in our hearts, any indifference, any pride, any contention, it ought to be purged down. May God send the coals of fire down and catch us tonight and deliver us from this thing, this cancer that's destroying you and I, destroying the body of Christ. Oh, I love the body, folks, but there's cancer in it. My wife, she's a nurse, and she told me that they call high blood pressure a silent killer. Folks, there's a silent killer among us, and I have to expose him. I have to do it. You know, we're never too good or too big to humble ourselves at an altar, are we? Oh, but brother, I've been a minister for 40 years. And you're still a man, aren't you? And you're still subject to the wiles of the devil. All saints, standing in the way of sinners. Ministers, shame on us if we're standing in the way of sinners. You know, some things are so bad that it's obvious even to the eyes in services. Hang on. Some contentions are so heavy and so great that it's obvious right in the services. And don't think you can fool these folks out here. You can't do it. Groups come up here to be prayed for. One brother goes over here, so the other brother goes over there. Folks are still sitting in the camp. And I think it's a shame that people set aside this week and come here with all kinds of needs for salvation, sanctification, healing, whatever it may be, and we're in a situation like this where we can't even go and meet them in honesty and purity of heart. This isn't easy. This is not easy. Pride is a spirit, folks. It's a spirit, and it's not a God. It's not a God. It's a godly spirit. Pride is made up of insolence. You know what insolence? It means contemptuous or despise. Lord help us. You know, we can get so ate up sometimes we don't even realize how far it's gone. Shame on us to allow these things to creep in among us. Brethren, who do we think we are? that we can set ourselves in the place of God and say that I'm going to hold this on my brother or hold that on my brother and expect God to come down here and do the work that we want Him to do. Who do we think we are? God help us tonight.
I don't know what you're thinking, but I know this is true. I know it's true. We need some radical surgery. The muscles is what makes the body work. Ministers kind of lead the body, don't they? We need some radical surgery. Nehemiah, the 13th chapter. I hope you're still praying. Because I didn't come here because I wanted to do this. I came here in the fear of God and the love for your soul. Nehemiah 13 and 1 says, on that day, they read in the book of Moses. I want you to notice something. The law was read. The word of God was read. And it says, in the audience of the people, and therein was found written, that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, listen to this, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. I believe that God wants us to shape up, fess up, measure up. Remember the scripture said, the just shall live by his faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Folks, you can't draw back at the truth and be right with God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are, what your standing is, pastors, evangelists, teachers, song leaders, the body, you can't draw back and be in favor with God. Can't do it. Once His Word goes forth, you're responsible. Once He's exposed the thing that He wants to expose, we're responsible. You know, it's sad to think of having differences one with another. Sounds good, and it looks good, but God's not pleased with it. We can't fool God. I'm not saying that we're doomed for destruction. I'm saying it's time to sound an alarm in Zion. God wants to do some surgery. If we'll be honest with God, I believe He can do it. I believe He can do it. I believe God wants to show us. I believe He wants to show us. I believe He wants to give us a manifestation of His power and His glory to come down in these pitfalls like we've never seen before. That's the God I believe in tonight. I believe He wants to do it. But there's hindrances. Who's standing in the way of that? Somebody, some ones are standing in the way of that. We go over and we pray with a brother and we want to see them healed. Folks, who's going over there and praying? Are you completely right where God wants you to be? The mixed multitude is separated from Israel. You know, now I want to get to this temple here. It seemed like God impressed upon my heart so much, and I trembled when I was studying this and when I was considering the temple, folks, and you and I are to be the temple of God. We have the place where the sinner comes to the brazen altar and gives his heart to the Lord. We come to the Word of God, the cleansing laver to clean us up, and then we can go into the holy place of justification. We're saved, praise the Lord. There's a scripture in Revelation, the 11th chapter, and verse 1, that told him there, he said, you take the rod, and you go and you measure the temple, you measure the inner court, and the holy, you measure the inner court, but the help me there, brother. Measure the inner, leave off the court as well. Measure the temple, but leave the court out. Because the court is given to the Gentiles.
Yes.
Folks, the court can never measure to the temple.
People that are willing to just want to go along with a little bit of this thing, they want to go a certain distance for this thing.
God showed me, God bless your heart, that when He comes back, and if we're here, and we're here, and we've gotten light and understanding of being over here, we're going to be cut off
at the day of judgment.
I believe with all my heart that if we're not over here in perfect love and where the mercy seat is and the place of holy of holies, and we have knowledge and understanding, God's going to hold us responsible. We're going to be cut off forever in eternity. That was shocking to me. Maybe you've seen that before. I never have. People are playing around there. Playing around there. But let me tell you, let me remind you of something. It said when Christ died, it said the veil was rent in twain. And He became the great high priest that every one of us are to go into the holy place. But folks, you don't take sin into the holy place. You don't take Adam's sin, and you don't take your sins into the holy place. You can't do it. You're going to be cut off. You're going to be cut off. Right, a thought, isn't it? Right now we have a missed mark. But when that great day comes, we're going to be cut off. I don't want to be cut off. I don't want to allow, by the grace and the mercy of God, I don't want to allow pride to come in here, preacher, and make me think that I'm somebody. Make me think that I can preach. I know what a struggle I have. Seems like every time I get in a pulpit, Christ says to me, without me, you can do nothing. How many of us tonight can truly say that we know without Him we can do nothing? Can we preach under our own strength? Can we go under our own power? That's carnality. That's flesh. And it's sin. You're not going to fool the people. They're crying. They're crying. They're saying, when is the ministry going to come together and be in fellowship, put their arms around one another, cry and pray and humble themselves before us? Yes, they are. And so is God. God's saying that too, folks. We're in a battle here. You know, another part of pride is obstinacy. We all probably have our definition of obstinacy, but mine is fixed and unyielding. You know it's possible to know this thing all of your life, get yourself in a certain place where you're fixed. This is the way it is for me. This is the way it is for me. This is the way that I'm going to stay. Don't care what's preached. Don't care what the Word of God says. This is the way I'm going to be. I'm not going to yield to that. You know what? You're going to be cut off. Whether you're out there in those seats or you're up there where the ministers, you're going to be cut off. Because God doesn't approve of sin. He hates sin. He abhors sin. Remember that. Obstinate, fixed, and unyielding, as in your opinion or course. You're set in your ways. God help you tonight. If you are, that's pride. You're being obstinate. God can't deal with you. I believe with all my heart that it's time for us to throw ourselves down on the rock, on that cornerstone, and let it break us up before the cornerstone comes and grinds us to powder. Lord, help us tonight. It's time to fall on the rock and be broken. It's time to get these things out and expose them and get rid of those things. Let the Lord deliver us from these cancers. That we won't stand in the way of sinners. Souls will be saved. Souls will be sanctified. People that need healing will be healed. But folks, we're going to have to humble ourselves first. We're going to have to humble ourselves first. Let me read you a frightening text to me. Matthew, the 7th chapter. You have to bear with me a little bit. I have to finish this. Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's what it is, isn't it? Are we doing his will wholeheartedly? Nothing in there hindering us in any way? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Think about that day tonight. Think about that day. What have we been holding on to? What have we got hid away? Set in our ways. You know, the older we get, the more set we get in our ways. The older we get, the more hard it seems like it's harder for us to understand or to see ourselves as we really are. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. But he said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Well, evidently, that's not going to get us there. Because we preach the word of God, that's not going to get us there. Haven't we prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils? Evidently, that's not going to get us there. Because we had some kind of authority to cast out a devil, that's not going to get us there. Christ is going to get us there. The blood of Jesus is going to get us there. Not any of our works are going to get us there. I don't care how good of a preacher you are. I don't care what kind of a following you are. Folks, if you don't have Christ, if you don't, if you're being honest in your soul, you're not going to get there. Do you know that God in His mercy will bless His Word? The one that's delivering it may have deceit in his heart. And God will bless his word at times. That's true. But it's possible to hold the truth in unrighteousness. When we stand before you and we have aught against our fellow minister, our fellow brother, I gotta tell you what I could do. When we get up here behind the sacred desk and handle the valuable Word of God, and we have on against our brother, we are handling the truth in unrighteousness. Yes, we are. And you know we're going to give an account for that. We're going to give an account for that. Even if you manage to pull it off and fool the people, God looketh upon the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Oh, God help us. I'm fearful tonight. I stand fear and trembling before God because of His Word. We all are going to have to give an account for this. We're not going to get there any other way but through this way. Christ is the door. He said here, and in thy name we've done many wonderful works. Brethren, let's not deceive ourselves. I don't care how many people you've baptized. I don't care how many people have been saved in your ministry. It doesn't matter how many years you've been pastoring. It's what's in this earth. There's things there. I know it. You can't come to me and tell me, brother, you don't know what you're talking about, because this brother does know what he's talking about, because God revealed it to me in my little bedroom back home 800 miles away. I know what I'm talking about. I might not know all the intricacies and all the things that are involved in it, and I don't have to know those things, but the Word of God knows those things. And it's sharp and powerful. And any two-edged sword. Are we going to let it cut on us tonight? Are we going to let it do some radical surgery on us? I think it's time. Sure, it's good to fast and pray. I believe God's answered prayer. I don't know how you feel tonight, but I believe God's answered prayer tonight. Not because I'm up here, not because it's me, but folks, this is the Word of God. God is telling you He's not pleased. He's not pleased. What does it say in Romans 1:18, real quick? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Does that include any of us? Of men. He says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We know that there's been those that have stood before us with sin in their hearts. And God has exposed it, hasn't He? That's a beautiful thing. That just absolutely makes me tremble and shake to think that a man could do something like that. God help us. We're just flesh, folks. Don't let the devil take advantage of us any longer. Don't let the devil hold you any longer. Don't let the devil keep you at odds any longer. If we have differences, we need to get them out of the way. Don't you have a love for souls? Don't you want to see those come to be healed? Don't you want to see God bless in our assemblies? It's time. It's time. I believe with all my heart. I told the Lord when He gave me this message, I said, God, I can't preach that. I didn't say I wouldn't, but I said, God, I can't preach that. I'm going to have to do some praying. I'm going to have to do some fasting. I'm not worthy to stand before you people and preach that. God didn't back up, folks. Oh, I'd have loved to have got on a ship somewhere and got out of the United States. Believe me, I would have. I'd have loved that. I said, Lord, why me? But you know, one time, when I consecrated my life to God, I said, God, if this is what you want me to do, I'll open my mouth. But you're going to have to put the words there. You know, I didn't know what I was saying. Because I wanted to back up on this so bad. I wanted to back up on this. But He said His soul would have no pleasure in me. I can't do that. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it to us. Saints, there's no one in this world. There's no other people in this world that has greater knowledge and understanding of the Word of God than we do. We have ministers here that know 10 times the amount and knowledge and understanding of the Word of God than I do. But folks, that's not it. It takes our love of God, genuine love of God. It takes a real faith that you're going to stand with God even if He slays you. And it takes an infilling power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that we've been under attack long enough. I think it's time God wants to deal with us. I really do. With all my heart, God wants to deal with us. I would like for us to stand and get a song. And let's let God deal with us. And as we sing this song, I'm going to leave you with this one last thought. You all know it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Folks, God said, my people. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to you and I tonight. Every one of us, under the sound of my voice, He's talking to us. If my people will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, we need a healing. We need God to pour us out a real soul healing tonight. I carry this load as far as I can carry it. And I believe this is the time that God wants to heal us. This is the time. Sing the song. If my people will humble themselves. Folks, let's humble ourselves.
at an altar. Humble ourselves before God. These things aren't hid any longer. The Word of God has exposed them tonight. Brethren, we are to join arm in arm. We are to be a strong link that the devil cannot come through. We are to be a protection around the people of God, that the devil can't penetrate the power that you and I should have in our souls.
Right. That's right. I don't know what you think of it. But folks, this is the truth. And I love it, and you love it, and you want to see it go on.
I'm tired of hearing people saying, telling me, well, why is so-and-so doing this? And why is this happening? Why is that happening? Folks, it's happening because we have dug in the earth. And we put sin there. And we're not what God wants us to be. That's why it's happening. Let's sing, so.
I hope you still love me. I love you.